Welcome to today's session. This is Dr. Ruth. Glory to God, Jesus is Lord. We are continuing here in my teaching out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. We are still in chapter 6. If you have been following me in the previous session, which was titled 6B, I started to teach about the Beatitudes. Hopefully you have listened to that. Please go back and listen. It was an awesome session. How God wants us to live through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we are going to pick it up here still in Luke chapter 6. We are going to pick it up in verse 37. The Lord Jesus continues his teaching called the Beatitudes, which is just, it means it's a state of inner peace and joy as we focus on our relationship with God. The whole principle behind the Beatitudes is a series of blessings that the Lord Jesus uttered to those who live by faith, trusting the Holy Spirit to live in and through them. It's a 180-degree change from the ways of the world. It's how we, the children of light, i.e. the children of God, are to live as we allow the Holy Spirit to live in and through us, so people can see God in us. And essentially, we have to extend the love of God, the mercy and compassion of God towards others in this way of living. That is really the highlight of the Beatitude. So I recommend you, please, after you are done listening to this session, go back and listen to the previous session. Better yet, listen to the entire sessions out of the Gospel of Luke so you get this teaching in context. So today, Luke 6, verse 37, what is the gist of these upcoming verses? The Lord Jesus will talk about judging others. And I want to just say that straight out, that I've heard people often say, well, don't judge me. Jesus said not to judge me. Well, what the Lord Jesus is teaching here in context is judgment unto condemnation. Only God retains the right to judge anyone unto condemnation. Okay? That is what the Lord Jesus is saying here. We are not to judge people unto condemnation, but the Lord Jesus himself in the Gospel of John 7:24, the Lord Jesus taught about making righteous judgment. Okay? Righteous judgment or righteous evaluation just means that we are to evaluate people's conduct, people's lifestyle based on the word of God. We are to evaluate things with the righteous standard of God's word. That is just a spirit of examination, discernment. That is not judgment. We make judgments every day in life. We make judgments in relationships. We make judgments in decisions. But everything has to be righteously judged through the lens of Scripture. So, as Christians, we are called to do that. When we see a fellow Christian in sin, we have to judge righteously based on the word of God and gently help them to come out of the sin. So let's be careful the way we use that word judgment. Now, what the Lord Jesus is saying here is judgment unto condemnation, because only God knows people's heart 100%. We are not called to be the judge over people's life. You don't know people's heart. Only God knows, and only God reserves that right. So with that background, let's proceed. Luke 6, 37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. This is the Lord Jesus now. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Exactly like what I have been saying. Do not judge anyone unto condemnation. No, don't do that, okay? An example I've heard. Many Christians say that you could be talking to somebody who you are ministering to, and they are not ready, at least in your view, to confess faith in Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, some Christians would make comments such as, "Oh, this person is going to hell." How do you know that? The fact that they didn't confess faith in Jesus Christ in front of you does not mean that they won't do that when they get home. That is the kind of judgment the Lord Jesus is saying that we should not make. We don't know, okay? I hope you're getting this. So don't be too quick to judge somebody's judgment and say they're going to go to hell. That is not right. Don't do that. You're not God. Okay. We are called to preach Christ. We are called to preach love and to reveal the love of God to people, because the Bible teaches us so clearly out of the book of Romans, it is the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. We are not to judge people. When we have that harsh, critical attitude, it's not a Christ-like attitude. It turns people off. Jesus always made a righteous judgment through our scriptures, okay? And then when people are totally and openly reject him, he would then tell them their destination, hell. Okay, so we have to be careful when we condemn people. We should not even be doing that. Okay, so moving on here, I'm going to just repeat the end of verse 37 there. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Exactly. Boy, I just came from doing a two-part series on forgiveness, and I have easily 5 hours of teaching on forgiveness, and I'm going to attach a link in the description box. Granted, the scriptures teach us all sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven. Hebrews 10, I think specifically verse 18, just all of Hebrews 10 in context teaches that Jesus Christ made one atonement for all sins. Now, when we don't forgive others who hurt us as followers of Jesus Christ, we will not go to hell. But what unforgiveness will do, it will harden our heart towards God. And that hardness of heart would prevent us from receiving God's best, because we are in disobedience. Because unforgiveness is outright disobedience towards God. So when we don't forgive one another, even as Christ Jesus has forgiven us, it's a recipe for not receiving God's best. It's a recipe for opening the door for Satan to come into your life to kill, steal, and destroy. So if you don't forgive others, don't expect to receive God's best, because you, by your action of unforgiveness, will block the manifestation, the presence of God in your life. That is a principle about harboring unforgiveness, which is outright disobedience towards God. So, friend, forgiveness is a step of faith. Forgiveness is not about the other person. Forgiveness is about honoring God, obeying God, respecting God. You just forgive. It's not how you feel. Forgiveness is faith. You forgive by faith and in obedience, because God says you should forgive, and you trust God with the consequences, and you trust God with healing and restoration. Because unforgiveness is bad, bad, bad for your spiritual posture with God. It will take you nowhere. Mm-hmm. So please forgive. Okay, moving on in verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This principle is 100% applicable in every area of life. It's not just finances. A lot of times we use this to talk about finances, which is so true. Whatever you give, you get back, okay, in equal proportion that you give. So the Bible teaches us now, talking about money, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, God is a giver. God wants us to give by faith. Giving into God's work financially, serving, or ministering to others, everything we do is by faith. And whatever we do for others, God will make sure that we receive back 100 times fold what we give. Exactly. If I give financially with a cheerful heart, with a genuine heart to support God's work, God will be certain that I get it back. Double, okay? When I serve, and as I'm ministering to you guys, God is ministering to me. So it is a principle across every spectrum of life. Whatever you give, you get back. So friend, today, are you a giver into God's work? Fine, let's talk about money. Because this is where so many Christians struggle. If you are struggling with lack in your life, financial difficulty, you know the best remedy for that? Give. Because you know what? God does not need your money. But you know what God needs? God needs you to obey him and to trust him. Giving is an attitude of the heart. It's to say, God, I will give what I have. God wants us to give out of what we have. God is looking at proportion. Say, if you have only a dollar, God is not expecting you to give all of that $1. He might, I don't know, but for the most part, give even 10 cents. If you have $5, give $1 out of $5. God honors that act of faith, and God will bless you back with $10. This is how good God is. So giving is to train our hearts to be obedient to God and to trust Him as our provider. Okay, again, giving money, giving your time, giving your service to the Lord. So if you give, it will be given right back to you. This is a promise. So if you have been given into God's work, if you have been a good steward, giving, and you're struggling, stand on this promise, and God will be certain your harvest is coming. Your harvest will be plentiful. Trust that God is faithful. Verse 39, he also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Whoa, can a blind person who is spiritually blind lead you? No, they can't. Will they not both fall into a pit? So true, I'm asking you. Verse 40, the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. This is humility now. Okay, we just have to live our lives as humble servants of law of the Lord, whether you're a student or a teacher. Hello, friends. This is Dr. Ruth here. Thank you for joining me today. I would like to share with you our ministry offer that is available to you as a donation to this ministry throughout my teachings out of the Gospels. So, I have two resources that I know will bless you tremendously, because these two books have blessed hundreds of people. So, the two books all have to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So, the first one is titled, Who is the Real Jesus? And the second one is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? So for a ministry donation of $50 or more, this includes shipping and handling. If you live here in the USA, we will mail these two books to you today. Okay, it will provide added clarity, added teaching about the Gospels, the ministry of Jesus, the work of Christ. These are phenomenal resources that would add into the teaching here I'm doing in the Gospels and help you to really have a deeper revelation and walk with the Lord. So again, this comes to us as a donation, and we thank you in advance for considering that. Again, the books are Who is the Real Jesus? And the other one is Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? For a ministry donation of $50 or more, if you live in the USA. But if you cannot afford both books and you just want one, it's okay too. We thank you for your donation. So, Who is the Real Jesus? For a donation of $25 or more, including shipping and handling. And then the other book, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? Would be $35, including shipping and handling. We will mail these books to you today. The advantage of getting both books is that you would save $10. Okay, so again, this ministry offer is only available for those who live within the USA, because we cannot ship overseas. But if you live overseas and you're listening to me, you can get these books from Amazon. So here is how you can donate through us directly to get this book as a ministry offer. Our safe and secure website is drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, drruthtanyi.org/donate. And then if you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here's the telephone number for Zelle. 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. And then we also accept donations through Cash App. And the name there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tani. Or if you just want to bless us with a one-time donation to help us produce more teachings like this and pay for studio time, we thank you abundantly from the bottom of our hearts. And God says thank you. And God is so faithful that He will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. So I want to thank you in advance for purchasing this additional ministry resources to help you to gain a better revelation of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you. Here is the teaching. Verse 41. Why do you look now? Before I even continue, the Lord is gonna start talking about judging now, and I had already explained the principle there, so let us proceed. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Exactly. What the Lord is saying is, why are you so concerned judging somebody else who has just a tiny flaw in their lifestyle when you have a major flaw in your lifestyle? The Lord continues, verse 42. How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So true. The principle here is that we have to examine our own lives, okay, and deal with our own shortcomings and trust God, the Holy Spirit, to deal with our own shortcomings before we start to pass judgment onto others, i.e. before we start to pass righteous judgment and to evaluate others in accordance with God's law. Are you yourself applying God's law into your own life? That's what this is. If you are not living in accordance with God's word, you have no authority to evaluate somebody else's life who is not in accordance with God's word. And the principle here is, if you have taken the time to examine your own life, as the scripture teaches us that we should do, that we should examine our lives to see if we are in the faith. When we take the time to evaluate our lives frequently, examine our lives, and then we hit the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and then we are able to make changes in accordance with corrections from the Holy Spirit, and we live a more pleasing, obedient life to the Lord, then we are well positioned spiritually, and we have experience to then make an evaluation or a judgment on somebody else's life. Because if you don't understand what it takes to go through change, you won't have the compassion and the mercy to extend that same compassion and mercy to somebody else who is failing in his or her walk with the Lord. Are you getting this? So before we are quick to judge people or label people as backsliders or not walking with the Lord, are you yourself backsliding in other areas of life? That is really what this is. So we need to evaluate our own lives before we try to examine somebody else's life. Examine your own life and make sure you are right with the Lord. Okay, because a lot of times, people who are really condemning or judging others, they are really suffering in their own lives, and they are hiding behind scenes, and they can't overcome it. So what do? They project onto others, okay? Somebody who has struggled in any area of life, say, struggle with alcoholism or sexual lust, and has been able to overcome that, is well positioned to examine somebody else's life to help them. And the righteous examination or judgment is for purposes of helping others to see the truth in God's word so their lives can be realigned with God. So be careful, okay? And Another classic example, I have seen this a lot, is Christians who are living in sexual sin. Yep. But they are so quick to judge the homosexuals or the bisexuals, or not bisexual, homosexuals rather, and transgender, whatever you call those things. I can't even say it right. Yeah, I think it's bisexual, those who have sexual relations with male and female, you see? I don't even know how to say it. But you have Christians who are practicing sexual immorality, such as fornication and cheating on their spouses, having sex outside of marriage, and then they are not able to overcome their own sexual immorality, but they are so quick to pass judgment onto homosexuals and bisexuals and transgender. Friends, stop. Sin is sin. Sexual sin is sexual sin in the eyes of God. If you are struggling with any kind of sexual immorality in your life, as an example, you are not equipped to be judging or passing critical judgment on the homosexuals, because you are in the same category of sin. Why don't you deal with your own problem? Allow God, the Holy Spirit, to sanctify you, deliver you from that mess. And then you will have some compassion and understanding to relate to the homosexuals, to understand how they struggle with that kind of a sin. Then you can minister to them. Is this clear? That is what this is. So we need to be careful, okay? So we move on here to verse 43. The Lord Jesus is going to teach about the heart, okay? That out of the abundance of the heart we speak, and our actions are revealed. Okay, verse 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Exactly, so true. Just think about this with me. If you have a bad, rotten apple tree at its roots, the fruits are going to be bad, right? Likewise, if you have a good pecan tree at its roots, the fruits would be good, right? Exactly. The Lord is going somewhere with this illustration here. Verse 44. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. So true. And I have used this principle to teach Christians. I don't need to know what you do in your private time with the Lord. I don't need to be there to watch how many time you spend meditating. I just need to evaluate the kinds of results you get. Based on the fruit, I could tell what kind of root you've planted. This is what the Lord Jesus is saying. Because we have people who would tell you, oh, I've forgiven that person. Oh, I have forgiven them, or I give a lot, yet they are struggling financially, or they claim to have forgiven, yet when they speak, it's bitterness and anger. A person like that, they've not truthfully forgiven. A person like that who claims to be giving into God's work, and they are struggling financially, they are one of two things happening. They are not giving, they are lying, or number two, they are giving in the wrong places. Because when you give, you have to plant into good soil. So the fruit, i.e. the results we are seeing, is not as unto the Lord. This principle is so true. The Lord Jesus continues, people do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Verse 45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So true. This principle is so true. What the Lord Jesus is saying is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever results that you manifest is as a result of what is in your heart. If your heart is full of evil, negative thinking, that's how your speech is going to sound. That's how your actions will manifest. So a lot of times we will hear people say something and they will say, oh, I did not mean that. No, subconsciously, that was what is in your heart. Oh, this is so powerful. A lot of times when we are not seeing the kinds of results that we desire from God, instead of blaming other people or being mad at God, the first thing we should do is to evaluate our results. If you're not getting these kinds of results, okay, there's a disconnect here because God is faithful. This principle will help you abundantly. What kinds of seeds are you planting? Are you planting good seeds? I.e., are you meditating on the truth in God's word? Mm-hmm. Are your thinking patterns aligned with God's word? Mm-hmm. If not, don't expect to get godly results. And this is a recipe for how we can change things. When we want change in God's kingdom, we don't change the results. We change the root. We change the thinking patterns. We change the way we think. We change the way we give. When we change that, then we would see the kind of results that we desire. Friend, you think I'm going to end here, and you know I am already talking about the principles and application. Let's just get into it. So the key principle an application we are learning here out of Luke 6, verses 37 all the way to verse 45 is the absolute truth that we need to be careful how we pass judgments. We are not God. We should not pass judgment unto condemnation. Only God retains the right to do so. We are called to pass righteous judgment, as Jesus taught in John 7:24, but the righteous judgment means that we evaluate things based on scripture, and we should examine our own lives first before we are quick to pass righteous judgment onto others. And we have to know that the whole idea of righteous judgment, so we can extend compassion and God's mercy to others who are struggling in certain areas in their lives. The next key principle and application is that if we want to change the results in our life, we need to change our thinking. We need to align our thinking patterns and processes with God's word. The Bible teaches us out of Romans 12, 1 through 2, that we should not conform to the patterns of this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. If we are struggling in any area of life, and if we believe that we've been doing things God's way and we're not seeing results, then we need to really examine ourselves again, reevaluate ourselves. It could be that you are not doing things in accordance with God's word as you think, and you just need to change your thinking. You need to change using finances as an example. If you're struggling financially, you just may need to give genuinely with a genuine heart. Maybe you need to give financially into ministries and churches that are truthfully preaching God's word and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, i.e. plant into good soil so that you can reap an abundance of harvest, okay? And if you think that you are doing all the right things, standing on God's promises, and you're not yet seeing the types of results you want, well, maybe you just need to be patient for some time. Because as the Bible teaches us, that God is not mocked, a man shall reap what he sows. That is out of Galatians 6, 7 there. If you are planting in the Spirit, you will reap abundantly. So don't give up in planting those godly seeds. You will reap. And if you want to change the words that come out of your mouth, like the Lord Jesus is saying, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak, you need to change your thinking, change your thought pattern. And if you catch yourself saying things that are not godly, you can repent and just meditate on your thinking processes, align your thinking with God. Think good of people. Don't think evil thoughts. Forgive. Don't harbor bitterness, anger. Don't speak evil of others. Okay? So I'm going to end this session here. So when we pick up this teaching next time, we will pick it up in Luke 6:46. That is going to be an interesting session because the Lord will teach a phenomenal illustration about the wise and the foolish builders, and I will pick it up there. So let us just end this session today with prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you love us enough, that you just want us to open our hearts to just receive correction from God, the Holy Spirit. I pray for everybody who is listening to me, everyone whose heart is open to receive this truth. I pray that you teach them how to be righteous in their judgment of others. I pray you teach them how to honestly, truthfully evaluate themselves, to come to a place of true repentance, and equip them to reach out to others. I pray that you just deliver them from condemnation unto others. That is not what you've called us to do. You've called us to walk in love and to trust you as a righteous judge. So I just pray for all those who are listening today that you just stir them and you help them to put these lessons into their personal life. And we thank you that your word is truth and your word is transformative. We thank you. We give you all the glory. And I have prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody says, Amen. God loves you.
So as you proceed with your day today, remember that God is with you always, enabling you to overcome in Jesus' name. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed and bye for now.